Stop me if you've heard this. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain. Then Jesus glowed. Then Moses and Elijah were there. Then Peter offered hospitality or just did something because he didn't know what else to do. And then God's voice came out of a bright cloud. It said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then Peter, James, and John were scared and they dropped to the ground. And then Jesus told them to get up and not be afraid. Then Moses, Elijah, and the shiny God cloud were gone. Then Jesus told them to keep quiet about the vision until he had been raised from the dead. You didn't stop me. What? We discussed it? You talked about stopping me. So you didn't stop me because you thought it would be impolite? Because you wanted to see how I was going to describe Matthew 17, 1 through 9? Come on, why else? You didn't stop me because it just didn't seem right to stop the preacher in the middle of the sermon, even though he said, "Stop me if you've heard this." Or you don't remember ever hearing that. How about that? What? Maybe you just like the words. Okay. How many of you have heard this particular Bible event before? How many of you know that in the last 4 years, I have preached on this Bible event 4 times? Just one. Okay, yeah, because I said something about it. Anyway, oh, Matt, you remember? Do you remember all of them? Do you remember what the direction was with the sermons? No? Anyone? So I could preach any of the 3 other ones, but I didn't. I did something different. You just want to see where this all goes today, right? So you're sitting there leaning forward on your seat. Who's leaning back? All right, just bring it. Come on, right? And some of you are like, okay, what's going to come next? What's going to come next? I want to see what's going to come next. There we go. Everyone lean forward. There. You know, it was an extraordinary experience that is described here. Glowing faces, glowing clothes, dead guys talking, clouds talking. This is something that Peter, James, and John were going to remember for the rest of their lives. And Jesus told them some stuff relating to it. Do you remember what he told them? It's at the end. What did Jesus say? Don't tell anyone. Yes, he did say that. And there are many times in the Bible where Jesus told people, disciples or not disciples, not to tell anyone things that had happened. Like in Matthew 16, it says that Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. It's also in Mark 8 and Luke 9. And in Matthew 8, it says, when Jesus had come down the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, praying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose, be made clean." And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest." And in Mark, well, that is also in Mark 1 and also in Luke 5. In Mark 7, they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment with his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. So Jesus told many folks to keep quiet about the things that he was doing. But they didn't keep quiet. I don't think that Peter, James, and John kept quiet. They may have kept quiet for a time, or they may not have. There's one place in the Bible that it says that they did keep quiet for a time, but they didn't keep completely quiet. How do we know that? Because we know that. They had to tell somebody what they experienced, otherwise we wouldn't know what was going on here. So Jesus told them not to tell anyone, but he told them something else. What else did he tell them before that? They were down on the ground and Jesus told them something. Don't be afraid. Yes, he said that. And there's times in the Bible where Jesus tells folks not to be afraid. Lots and lots and lots of them. Here's one in Matthew 14. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But this time, the boat battered by the waves, was far from the land, and the wind was against them, the disciples. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." That story is recounted in Matthew, also in Mark 6 and John 6. And then Matthew 28. So they left the tomb quickly, and with fear and great joy they ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee. There they will see me. Do not be afraid." So many other times where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." However, how often have the words "do not be afraid," if you're a parent or if you're a kid and you're one or the other or both, right? When you're really afraid and your parents say, "Don't be afraid," does it take hold right away? Like you're like, "Don't be afraid. Oh, okay. Boy, so much better now." It's sort of like as a parent when your kid is acting bratty. Anyone ever have? And you say, "You snap out of it." And of course the kid snaps out of it immediately, right? They just snap out of it. Or "Don't be scared," or "Don't be sad." All these different things. You hear things like that, and sometimes it just seems cold. And other times it's even meant, not coldly, but warmly. Like, "It's all right, don't be afraid." Or, "It's all right, don't be so sad." But you're still sad, or you're still afraid, or you're still angry and bratty, right? When somebody says that to you. That's right. That's right. So I'm sure that Peter, James, and John, when Jesus said, "Do not be afraid," after they have this experience, glowing faces, glowing clothes, a shiny cloud and a voice coming from the cloud and two dead guys, they were afraid. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." And they were like, "Are you kidding? Of course we're going to be afraid." The Bible doesn't actually include that line there, but you got to think of human nature here. But that's not the point that I want to get across today. As a matter of fact, the "don't be afraid," "not tell anyone," neither one of those are really the point that I want to get across. There's a third thing that Jesus said to the disciples in this. What is it? Do you know? "The Son of Man will rise." Okay, I'm not going there though. But he did say, He said, "Tell no one of the vision until I rise from the dead." And I just gave away what he said. Tell no one of what? The vision. So what do you make of that? This will be the first time of the four sermons that I've asked the question there, because usually we don't question what actually happened. Well, Jesus was there. His face glowed. His clothes glowed. There was a voice from heaven, and Moses and Elijah were there. Okay. And this time Jesus says, "Tell no one of the vision." So does that mean it didn't really happen? That they just saw it? And are you wondering, are you attacking the Bible by saying that something in the Bible isn't true? No, I'm using the Bible. I'm reading the Bible and asking a question about it. I'm wondering, what does this mean here? I'm saying that in our Bible reading today, Jesus said they experienced a vision. He doesn't say, "You have just experienced a vision." He said, "Tell no one of the vision." Then you can say, "Well, wait a minute. In different translations of the Bible, it doesn't say that it was a vision." And you would be right. Did anyone say that? Matthew 17:9. Let me read it to you from different translations. The New International Version. "As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, 'Don't tell anyone about what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead.' From the New Living Translation, 'As they descended the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Don't tell anyone what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead.'" Remarkably similar to the one before. New Century Version. "As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had been risen from the dead." The Message, paraphrase, "Coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. 'Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you're free to talk.'" But then the King James Version. When I was growing up, the King James Version, it was it. Even though we use the Revised Standard Version, when you memorize Bible stuff, it was the King James Version because that was the one. When you really wanted to know, you went to the King's English. That was the authoritative version. Here's what the King James Version says. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So the King James Version, and then the New King James, the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard, and the New American Standard all say vision. So we have something in the Bible that lets us wonder a little bit. And then you may wonder, what about the other chapters that talk about the transfiguration? There's Mark and Luke. This one's in Matthew. In Mark 9, Jesus says to keep quiet about what they have seen. Doesn't say vision. And the Greek word is eido, E-I-D-O, and it means to see. Yeah, it can be something that is really happening or a vision of something. It can be either one, but it's to see it. And in Luke 9, Jesus doesn't tell them to keep quiet at all. However, the disciples do keep quiet. Here's how it ends, and it says, the disciples kept quiet in those days about what they had seen. And in that case, they use a word horaro, which means to see mostly as in a vision. Does that make any sense so far? Horaro and eido, they're two different things. And the one that I'm reading today in Matthew, there's a verb or a noun. Tell no one of this vision. The word is horama. And it means something that is seen as in a vision or as in not a vision. And if you look in the New Testament, it's 13 times in the New Testament, and all but one, it's listed as vision, and very specifically vision, like Paul saw in a vision this happening, and then he went there. Or Paul was in a trance, and he saw a vision of the third heaven and all that. So almost every time, it's a vision. And this time, a lot of translations say, that's really tough for us to call it a vision because this is one of those foundational things, or some people would say that. It's foundational, so we can't ask questions about whether Jesus really glowed or whether it was a vision of Jesus glowing. Orama. Really kind of a good word. Oraro, another good word, to see as in a vision. And eido. Eido could be a vision, and it could not be a vision. So what's the point of all of this? And is it the point that I'm making today? Are you wondering? There we got the wonder again. Second question first. Yes, it's the point that I'm making today, and here it is. See, the Bible is filled with wonder. The Bible is filled with mystery. And it's filled with people who spend their entire lives not getting it. The disciples spent their entire lives not getting it. The people in the Old Testament didn't get it so often. And too often, we want to know for sure what is going on. We want to know. Look at the Bible and say, spell it out for me. Spell it out. Is this what happened, or is this what happened? And the Bible says, you know what? I want you to wonder. So Jesus says, tell no one about the vision. And you can wonder, did it happen or did it not? And then you can wonder, what's the point as to whether it happened or whether it did not? See, what happened on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus is important, and it was life-altering for the people who were there. For they who saw it, they would have known the story of Moses glowing and how God was with Moses when he came down from the mountain. And so Jesus glowed. And they would have, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah there? I don't know, but somehow it was planted in their brains that they saw Moses and Elijah. So this was transforming, that this Jesus is somebody important. This Jesus is the one that God has sent. If we had any question, we've got it here. If it didn't happen in a physical stance, like you could have videoed it or something, well, that's because it was a vision. But God gave them this vision, this dream to say, this is Jesus. This is the one that I want you to follow. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him. And the disciples came down from the mountain forever changed because they had experienced something extraordinary. The Bible verses describe Jesus as transfigured. Fancy Bible name for transformed, changed. He was transfigured before them, and he became a glowing person with glowing clothes and everything. But when we read it, No, you can look at it and say, truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Look, it says right here. But we've read the whole story, and we get it all the way through. So this part here, we're not experiencing it for the first time. Even if you've never heard this before, we've got the whole story. Peter, James, and John were just starting to experience it, and God showed them something extraordinary. But it has to mean something for us, too, that's important even with us knowing the end of the story. And I think it is that Jesus is this transformative power. And while we don't glow, although sometimes you see that someone glows, like a mom after they've had a new baby, right? Or something like that. Or, wow, did you just get married because you're glowing? Or did you just paint your face with that glowing paint because you're glowing? Or whatever it is. But God transforms us, changes us. Peter, James, and John were changed by this experience on the mountain. And I think that God changes us from whatever we are now to whatever we will be. And I don't know what change takes place, and I would not presume to look at each one of you or meet with any of you and say, well, this is what I think God is going to change in you. No, it doesn't work that way, because God is the one who does the changing. God is the one who does the challenging. God is the one who does the stuff. God can give Peter, James, and John a vision. God can make reality happen so that Peter, James, and John see something that is really happening. But most of all, God changes us from who we are now into who we will be. And I think that what God changes us into is something that is very, very good. God has a plan for us, and I don't think we'll ever fully know it, but I think that we keep knowing it a little bit more as God transforms us into the people that God wants us to be. Does it mean we're not okay the way we are? No. It means that God is continually transforming us because we are growing, and we will be something else as time goes on. I don't know how God is affecting your life today. And like I said, I don't presume to point out and say, God's going to change you in this way because you need to take care of this. But I want to offer the smallest piece of advice that comes from these verses and I haven't really talked about today. It's how Peter reacted to what he saw. Remember what he did? Jesus saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Peter saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and his first reaction was to say, if you want, I'll build three dwellings for you. And it could be three dwellings means three places to worship. But I think that Peter's first response was, there are three people here, and we're on a mountain, we've gone hiking. I think that I need to show some hospitality and provide shelter for them. I need to welcome them to this place. So his first instinct was to show hospitality and kindness to the guests that were there. That was what was natural to him. So may we have the first instinct in our minds when we're faced with things that we don't understand or we wonder about or whatever it is, to show kindness. May our first instinct be to show kindness as God continues to transform us. May that be the instinct that we have when we're in normal situations, normal time. You wake up in the morning and the first thing that you could do is say, be quiet, don't wake me up. Or you could show kindness. Yeah, I know, you feel like doing that sometime, right? So regular situations, but also when you're in extraordinary situations. Extraordinary situations, kindness. And kindness also in familiar situations. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your blessing, for letting us wonder, and for transforming us, for making us into who you would have us be. Help us as we continue to be transformed to show your kindness and love to all. In Jesus' name, amen.